everybody, welcome back to Screen Heroes, episode 93.
Whoa.
It's the year I was born.
Don't tell us that. I am Derek.
Me too.
I mean, 1893 is probably closer to the year I was born, I feel like, these days.
Probably.
But I am Derek. I have my other regular Screen Heroes hosts with me, Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Yep, totes.
And we have a new guest with us who you might have caught if you watched our Doug Jones interview from Kansas City Comic Con. It is on our YouTube channel now at heroespodcast.com. Click the link. Brad.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
So you used to come on our old show before this show in the before time. but it's been a while, man. So welcome to Screen Heroes. We are live on Twitch at twitch.tv/heroespodcast. So Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, you can chat with us. Hopefully we'll get some people joining. What are we talking about today?
The most controversial thing that's happened in 2017, the year of rapists and pedophiles, it's the Justice League movie.
Oh, I thought we were here for Ragnarok.
He's been waiting to use that joke all day. I'm
going to say that joke. Everyone's going to laugh. I'm going to be like a hero.
I feel like that was just a little bit of hyperbole, you know, but maybe in the movie universe, this was the most controversial movie of the year. Of course it is, because it's a DC film. So yes, yeah. Justice League is now in theaters. I'll go over real quick the box office numbers, which I'm sure we'll probably talk about a little bit, and then we can provide our spoiler-free thoughts before we dive into details.
I was about to say, I was totally expecting spoilers in this, so.
We will
do a little pause for people if they want to
get. Watch the podcast.
I know.
As a guest, but whatever.
It's fine, man. It's fine.
I have. Well, I haven't watched. I've listened.
There you go.
That's good. That's what most podcasts you listen to, but you can also watch this one if you want to. But anyway, so Justice League opening weekend came in at a disappointing $93.8 million. That's disappointing in movie terms, not in individual human being terms, but it is the only DCEU movie not to break $100 million in its opening weekend.
For comparison's sake, BVS did, what, $160
million? I can tell you that here in just a quick moment.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's $160 million.
Basically, opening weekend worked out with BVS making $166
million. Yeah.
Suicide Squad made $133. Man of Steel made 116, and Wonder Woman made 103. Of course, Wonder Woman being a standalone hero film, not a team-up movie, it was not expected to even make that much.
Well, Man of Steel was not a team-up movie.
Yeah.
That's true, but it was Superman, and Superman's like the most, other than Coca-Cola, is like the most recognizable icon in the world. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
It's the Ghostbusters logo is number two.
sure.
It is.
And whatever helps you sleep at night. Maybe it used to be. anyway, so it did end up cracking 100 million if you include its Monday totals. It's up to 101. It made another 185 million in the international box office, which brings it up to 286. Right now, projections have it estimating to lose Warner Brothers specifically somewhere between 50 and $100 million, which is just something you want to hear about your kind of flagship tentpole universe building movie. Any thoughts on that?
No.
What was the movie budget? Wasn't it like
$300 million?
It was $300 million. I believe a really good chunk of that was the reshoots and some of the issues with Henry Cavill.
we're not going to talk about that
it's
yet.
It's fine. anyway, yeah. So there were some expensive reshoots involved and things of that nature. It was $300 million, which I think made it the most expensive superhero movie at the time, but the Infinity War movie, I'm pretty sure, breaks that. It just is obviously not out yet, so it doesn't technically count yet.
You don't have the Thor Ragnarok opening weekend numbers, do you?
Sure. That's not hard to find at all. Thor Ragnarok...
Just for comparison's sake, that came out, 2 weeks ago?
It did. Thor Ragnarok came in third place this weekend behind Justice League and Wonder. Wonder actually blew away expectations and did much better than anticipated, but... opening weekend, Thor Ragnarok made 122.7 domestically. That's just a domestic number. And in its 2 weeks, it has grossed 249.7 domestically.
You think people were confused and thought Wonder was like a Wonder Woman Smetoff or something?
Maybe in the first 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Well, that's like the background on the origin of the Wonder Woman series right now.
Wonder is the movie with Owen Wilson and
Julia Roberts.
Thank you. About their son and their So it's one of those kind of dramatic, kind of emotional, movies. Okay. But it blew away expectations. So if that's something that's up your alley, you might want to go see that one. But anyway, so yeah, so Thor obviously did better, being the third Thor movie. Arguably, I think it's probably the best of the three Thor movies, but I know Ray disagrees. You can listen to our episode from a couple weeks ago about that. So I'm sorry, this is the third week for Thor. The third week for Thor.
We're talking a lot about Thor on our Justice League.
I'm going to say that based on those numbers, that I think Justice League is probably right where it deserves to be. Maybe that's the wrong thing to say with this crowd, but I think that when we get to our actual review,
you keep being an ass about this, to be honest. you're thinking we're gonna just praise this film and not pick it apart,
pick it apart. No, I'm not gonna mess on everybody.
Hang on a second. I am very critical of the things I love. If you listen to Red Shirts and Runabouts
and
Star
myself,
Trek podcast,
but you also defend them with your dying breath if somebody else has some problem.
Have you not heard her critique me?
It depends on what the problem is. I think that regardless of how good or bad Justice League is, it not cracking $100 million opening weekend is weird. Either way you see it. Because it's a massive blockbuster movie. And we have all paid money to see terrible blockbuster movies opening weekend.
I'm not saying that it's not surprising.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm saying based on the quality of what I saw in the theaters, that's about where it should be.
And the problem with that is... That statement in the context of the real world implies that you think Suicide Squad was a better movie.
No.
Suicide Squad, because
I didn't say Suicide Squad made exactly what it should that weekend.
Well, okay, so then what are you basing off the should of?
I mean, comparatively this year, Thor did $122 million. Thor, if I'm looking at it in terms of a mathematical equation, Thor was X amount better than Justice League.
Okay, but I mean, you're comparing it just to one other movie, though. So, like, if we look at like Spider-Man, for example.
No, let's not look at the numbers anymore.
Okay.
Let's do our reviews,
our
spoiler-free reviews, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty.
Okay. Let's do it. Somebody start off. Brad, how do you feel about Justice League? No spoilers.
I had to actually watch it again last night to decide whether or not I liked it.
Okay.
When I left the theater the first time, I wasn't quite sure, but I was still in shock of something, which
we'll get to later. Yes.
But yeah, so I went and saw it last night again, and I appreciated it a little bit more than the first time, but it's a love hate.
It's a love-hate?
It is.
Okay.
I love some parts of it, and I hated some parts of it, and so I'm still neutral on it.
I completely agree with that. I have a love-hate relationship with it. I think that probably somewhere there was a great, fun script. Because there are great, fun actors up there having fun with each other. And you can tell that by the way they talk to each other on and off screen. But there were too many technical issues, too many choppy bits, too many unexplained things or over-explained things that finally I was just like, God, this part sucks. Like, this shouldn't suck like this. You know, we've seen four or five other superhero movies this year, and technically this was the worst one. Story-wise, I don't know if that's true, but from a technical, like, just this... editor managing a green screen, and it just...
I don't know if I agree with that.
I was sad about that.
I definitely think it's better than Guardians Volume 2.
You think Justice League is better than Guardians Volume 2?
Yes.
Technically. Because
it's been 6 months since I've seen Guardians 2, right? So, the technical... I remember having problems... with some of those technical details. I'd have to go back and listen to our episode on it. But if I'm looking at all the superhero movies as a whole this year, I definitely enjoy Justice League more than Guardians 2.
That's fair. If you enjoy it more, that's a different thing than what I was saying. I said that I thought technically it was the worst superhero.
I don't remember it well enough, to be honest. I'd have to go back and rewatch it. I was very disappointed in Guardians 2, so... I was not disappointed in Justice League. I was not disappointed in Thor Ragnarok. I wasn't going to be disappointed in Spider-Man unless it was like another Spider-Man 3. So it had the easiest sell Spider-Man did. But Ryan, what about you?
Well, I actually liked it, but I feel like I liked it because of like the fanboy inside of me seeing this stuff happen more than the... more than anybody, like if I was just going to see it and I was a casual superhero fan, then I would have probably thought it was a mess. And there was, I think that the things that it did well, it did very well, but that the things it didn't do well, it sucked on really bad. So, I mean, I'm going to go watch it again in theaters. I just got my movie pass card, so I'll be able to review that sometime coming up, but I'll go see it again in theaters. Because I want to make sure I really give it a fair shake. And I don't usually go see movies twice in theaters. So, but, I mean, yeah. I think if you like comic book movies, and you're a DC fan specifically, you'll like it and it's worth your money. But I think if you're a casual, you know, fan of the characters, I don't think you're going to like it all that much.
I think it's going to be the opposite way. The fanboy in me cried a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like I was watching a different movie from you guys, I guess.
You felt the same way with PBS.
Because, I mean, from a DC perspective, I feel like I'm the biggest DC fanboy in the room, but Brad may be. But, like, I mean, well, you don't read the comics.
Discount the amount of, but that's the amount of a fan of the characters.
But, well, no.
Apparently,
but,
Ryan and I just hate DC.
Yeah. Well, you're a bigger
Marvel fan. Huge, yeah. Okay.
You said that yourself.
Knowledge-based, I know more than you.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
About both. Yeah. Okay. We've had this
podcast. I feel like I watched
this is the wrong podcast.
I feel like I watched a completely different movie.
That's possible.
I mean,
a completely different person from us.
There are definitely some technical issues, don't get me wrong, but I didn't have any problems with the characters or the story.
I had no issues with Ezra Miller.
Really?
Okay. We'll get into that.
All right, so then maybe we can't avoid the details any longer. So if you have not watched Justice League yet and you care about the spoilers and somehow things have not been spoiled for you yet, go ahead and pause this and come back later. All right, so this is the spoiler zone at this point. You have been warned. Where do you guys want
it's
to
gonna
start?
It's going to get loud in here, so I recommend turning down your volume.
I'll level it out.
Okay, so a huge chunk of me believes that... the reason that it didn't hit the numbers that it probably should have is because of some toxic fandom. I think from, since BVS, people have done nothing but spread hate about these films. They say things like, they're garbage, they're a catastrophe, Snyder's the worst. And those are sentences that make others believe that it's fact. You don't say, I think, or in my opinion. And my issue with that is it kills things for other people. It's that logic why we didn't get a Tron 3. It's that logic why we don't have good things last longer. And that bothers me. You're killing stuff off for other people. You're crapping on the things other people love. So.
Well, part of it is that, like, There was a lot of that toxic fandom stuff, but there was also just a lot of straight up lies about things.
Well,
like
yeah, the
Billy
toxic
Crudup
fandom
dropping out of the movie, for example,
correct.
Like that. Was a story that was floating around for a while, or how much of the movie Whedon did versus why Snyder left, and things of that nature. Like just a lot of stuff that was just factually not objectively not true.
My issue is the toxic fandom is no longer just the fans; it's also professional critics that are also behaving childishly. If I don't like something, I don't subject myself to it. I compared this the other day where I was like, I don't like sour cream, so I don't eat it. I don't say sour cream destroyed my childhood. Like, it's I don't make crazy sentences like that. If I don't like something, I'm not going to go do it again. And I'll say to people who ask, hey, I didn't like it. So...
okay.
I'm sorry. No, I think that was a huge reason why Justice League did it. Too many people have spread hate about certain films that... I mean, it was kind of the issue with Ghostbusters, too. Too many men are like, oh, this movie's ruining my childhood because it's all females. And It was a mediocre film at best, and hey, women can make mediocrity too, look at us!
Well, but, there are bad movies that make money. I mean, Furious 7 made $1 billion, and I'm a fan of that franchise, and that's a bad movie.
Green Lantern.
Yeah,
did that make money? I don't remember.
It did, yeah.
That was a long time ago.
I know I got some of my money, and I remember
well,
that.
Okay. I mean, there's a difference between comic book fans seeing a comic book movie and the movie itself making a lot of money, right? I'm sure that most Batman and Wonder Woman fans went to see Justice League this weekend.
Probably.
Ryan, you have an interesting look on your face.
Just letting you guys speculate about why the movie did bad. Well, I want to talk about the actual movie and review the actual movie, right?
Fine, talk about the movie.
I think that... I'm sure all that stuff affected the box office, but I think part of it was the fact that the movie just wasn't really that great. And when people went and saw the movie on Thursday or Friday, they told their friends.
7 months ago, and they were still saying that Justice League's crap.
But we're talking about the box office that actually happened, right? So Thursday and Friday, a lot of the hardcore fans went and saw the movie, and maybe some casual fans. And then they posted on Facebook and said, either, hey, it was amazing, or, okay, guys, disappointing. And I think there's a lot more of the disappointings than there were of the, it was amazing. And I think that when people scroll through their social media, you know, and they see a friend that they trust.
That is how people get news.
That's what happened.
Most of the viewer scores are pretty decent, though.
That doesn't mean anything.
I mean, that's
well, hang on. You can't say that.
I didn't say that.
No, most of the viewers.
I'm responding to her. I'm not responding to you.
Most of the viewers on your social media.
No, I was talking about like actual sites, like review sites, like Rotten Tomatoes, for example. People want to use Rotten Tomatoes a lot. The critics hated it on Rotten Tomatoes. The last time I checked, it had an 85% from a audience standpoint. So if everybody was going home and saying they didn't like the movie, they were then making up a story on the review sites that contradicted
that? Well, a lot of the people that like the movie and think that DC the movies are better than what they're reviewed, they're the ones that are going to go and review the movies on Rotten Tomatoes and say, oh yeah, this thing was 100%. Whereas the guys that didn't like the movie are probably not going to care that much because it was a mediocre movie.
Well,
unless they just want to trash it.
I mean, you say that though, like they wouldn't do that for other films.
Well,
right.
I'm just saying, I'm giving
a specific number from a specific website. That's data that we have, and everything else here is just kind of, you know.
We also have the number of $94 million that it made when it was supposed to be making $160 million plus. Yeah.
But my point is, you got annoyed that we were speculating why it made certain amounts of money, and you're speculating too.
I'm speculating based on the fact that what I saw on my Facebook feed was, maybe yours is different. I'm sure yours is all DC fanboys going, guys, this is amazing, best thing ever.
If you notice, I didn't mention my feed. I'm saying
that people actually saw the movie. Saying things like it's not that as great as I wanted it to be may have impacted it more than all the news trying. That certainly didn't help.
I think a lot of it had to do with the way Rotten Tomatoes handled the critic reviews. If you looked at noon on Thursday, you saw zero reviews for Justice League.
Because they used the Flixster app.
But Rotten Tomatoes is the number one site in the world, not Flixster. So the number one site in the world hid the review because they wanted to boost their ratings on their new show that they were launching. And there were critics who came out and said that they had a problem with that. There were movie writers. One of the writers of Doctor Strange had a big problem with it. Because if you were going out and saying, what do I want to do with my weekend? Let's look and see how Justice League did. There were zero reviews just hours before opening night. And that's BS, right? That's going to impact people because that's different than basically any movie in the internet era.
You should just go into it with an open mind.
Well, that's
how people are. Yeah, but that's not what people do.
Yeah, that's not how the internet works. Right.
That's how I went into seeing Justice League, though. I had issues with it from the beginning, primarily because of costume designs and everything. That's what really pushed me towards that I need to go in with an open mind because there was some Aquaman's costume I hated.
So let's talk about that. We keep coming back to the money.
I keep asking,
what did you like or not like about the movie?
So, I like that your shirt has a better Superman face than the CGI. That they did for.
Let's talk about each individual character. All right. Can start with Ben Affleck since his Batman kind of opens everything.
Okay.
So.
The scene in Gotham was amazing, though.
The opening?
If that's what the Batman film's going to be like, I'm excited.
Well,
I'm not even a Batman.
That was a Whedon scene. That was not going to be a Matt. I mean, Matt Reeves is a totally different kind of director, so. I don't know.
So, Batman, I think that this movie pretty much proved that DC has no idea what they're doing with Batman. in terms of this cinematic universe, I think this is a completely different Batman than we saw in Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
And I think that, you could say he changed because Superman died and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, did he really change that much in such a short period of time that
in
now
a year.
He's now joking with everybody?
No,
and like all this stuff?
I think it's as simple as everybody claimed they hated Batman and BVS, so
it
they
is.
Changed the character.
I'm saying in the just like you had a problem with Thor Ragnarok, when Thor now is
yeah.
a comedy genius.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I had a problem with Batman all
yeah.
of a sudden being this, and I get that they were trying to respond, but I mean, Batman was basically useless the entire movie. He wasn't smart. He wasn't. He had some gear. Like, that was
he
cool.
He had but, money.
Yeah, but what do you mean he wasn't smart?
Like, he didn't. Batman is supposed to be a super intelligent tactician, and, mm-hmm. and he didn't do anything like that in this movie.
You
he
don't
did,
think so?
No. He basically sat in the final fight with a laser gun and went pew, pew, pew. And that was all he did.
Yeah.
And he got thrown around like a ragdoll by
I
Superman.
I mean, he did figure out the frequency of the parademons and had them
by accident.
But, yeah.
I mean, not by accident, he was hunting down parademons. Like, that's how the movie opened, the scene you liked
yeah.
so much was him hunting parademons.
so,
but he specifically knew that they fed on fear in the opening scene and was using that for the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm
Alfred
just saying,
probably told him, because that seemed to be the way that he
so
figured everything out, was Alfred was telling him everything.
All right. So if we're going to say the characters the way they are because of off-screen stuff, I don't really know how we can have a conversation.
But we don't know how he figured out that they feed on fear, because that was the opening scene of the movie.
Okay.
So,
off-screen
stuff, too.
I mean, right, but in on-screen, he said that he knew that because he had seen them already, right?
From the that might have been from the nightmare.
Doesn't really matter. Either way, he was tracking them down to find
okay, so he did one or two smart things in the entire movie.
I don't know what the threshold is, but...
Okay.
Well, 10 smart things
that well, when that's basically all your character can do when you're around all these other characters that actually have useful powers, then
I mean,
you would think that he would do something more. Like, what did he do?
I mean, he put together the airplane that they used throughout the movie.
So he had some money.
But that's what Batman always is, right? He's the maker of the Watchtower, and he's the one who builds all the tech. Like, that's who he always is.
Right,
that's
also the one that is the most brilliant tactician in the Justice League that also sets up and plans every single thing that they do.
I feel like from a tactician perspective, everybody was where they were supposed to be.
His backup plan was Lois Lane. Where were his kryptonite arrows that he
was
using the other thing?
That's the character change that they're talking about, is the idea is that he's not that same guy. Now, whether or not you buy that's irrelevant. In the movie, this is the Batman that he is now. And the point
is... In the universe, that's, you know, it's different.
But the point is, he's not going to fight Clark anymore. He's going to befriend Clark. And you do that not with kryptonite. You do that with his human connection, which is Lois. Right? That's the thing that... The movie had to do something. They either had to keep the Batman that everybody claimed they hated, or make the Batman that everyone claimed they wanted. And that's what they did, is they did the latter. That's fine.
Batman vs. Superman.
That's
Batman,
fine. But my point is that's what he was doing. So the character was consistent in Justice League for the character that they were told everybody wanted. So he, instead of fighting Superman, he befriends Superman. That's the whole point.
Okay. I mean,
you don't have to like it, but no, that's what it was.
I get that that's what they were going for, but it didn't make sense in the continuity of the character. Like, I mean, I guess I just didn't like how far they went. They can't decide which way they want to go with
that. Well, I think they did
decide.
If this
is the decision that they went with, I'm going to be disappointed because I don't think that this was fun. He looked bad in the suit. There were scenes like on that rooftop scene, which I thought was cool too. He looked fat, like just out and out, like bloated Batman when he was looking over the edge.
Yeah.
It did not look like... I mean, I don't know if that was a reshoot or something, and he had
stopped
working
scene,
out.
So it was done towards the end, but
it looked very different, like than the rest of the Batman. I don't know. I guess I just didn't love a lot about Batman in this movie. I thought it was one of the worst Batmans that we've had on screen. Personally, obviously, you disagree, which is fine. But I mean, I did not like Batman in this movie at all.
With this character, like Bruce Wayne, Batman has always been like this, like stern person where he's like, I have a plan for a plan. And yet,
but Derek's point is that this is the continuity in this movie. So that's
I know. But
no, that's not what I said. What I said was that everybody complained and bitched and whined about the two dark Batman and BVS. So Warner Brothers said, "Fine, we'll give you the Batman you keep saying you want," and that's what they did. So this is an example of this was an example of the production company trying to give the fans what they claimed they wanted when they destroyed BVS. Now those same fans want to complain that they got what they asked for. It's just disingenuous. Right, so like Batman, don't like Batman. This is the production company trying to do what the fans asked for.
It's just that the conversation that they have with the Creation Cube or the Changing Cube,
the Mother Box.
Yeah, the Mother Box, but they called it something else. The one that
the
humans had.
Oh, when they're all connected?
No, the one that Cyborg had. The one when they're talking about where Bruce
they
brings up.
They had another
up,
name,
we're
but
gonna
they
go.
Didn't know the name was Mother Box.
Yeah,
and
they didn't.
It was like
yeah, so his dad.
The change engine.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, but it's like that conversation between Bruce and Diana. I felt like the dialogue should have been swapped. She should have been like, "Hey, we could bring him back," and he should have been like, "No, that's a horrible idea."
But that's the whole point, though. The end of BVS is that he regrets fighting Superman. Like, that's the whole point.
Regrets.
Yeah, his greatest superpower is guilt. That's what he should have said when Flash got in the car was, "What's your superpower? Guilt."
But it's not. He realized Batman is the only human in the conversation, right? Everybody else is a superhero. He's not a superhero. We can label him that all we want, but he's still just a dude with gadgets, right? So
he's a dude with gadgets.
No, he is the gadgets. Okay, he's connected to the internet. It's very different. My point is though that Batman is the human there. He is the humanity for the Justice League. In this universe. He wasn't painted that way in the cartoons. He hasn't been painted that way in the comic books. But that's the direction that they're going in these movies, is he is the human in the room. And because of that, he learned in BVS that killing and fighting Superman and trying to kill Superman was a mistake. That the world needed him. Right? That was the lesson learned at the end of the movie.
So how'd you guys think about Wonder Woman? Did you guys like Gal?
I always liked Gal as Wonder Woman. I think she's still one of my favorite parts of these movies, regardless. I think that I like the idea that they positioned her to be the leader of the team. I think that's a nice direction to take it, because
her movie's done the best.
Well, her movie's done the best. I mean, from a marketing perspective, I get it. But, like, Superman has been the leader for a very long time, and I like the idea of switching it up and have it be somebody else for a change.
Yeah. Definitely.
And it should still be one of the Trinity, of course, but I like that it's Wonder Woman, because Batman doesn't really want that role.
Even though he's putting the team together.
Because he's the tactician, remember?
And he figured out that all these people exist.
No, Superhero Facebook told him.
Yeah.
Quick time movie sent via email telling him that all these people exist.
I don't want to rehash BVS too much here. He still had to track everybody down. He still had to convince everybody to come in. Right? That wasn't easy to do. They had trouble tracking these people down in Justice League. Okay? And he was still able to accomplish that. So that's still something that he did in the film. But Wonder Woman was good. I thought she was great. I liked her battling Steppenwolf. I liked that they showed more of her powers, that she's very, very fast. For example, like in the museum scene.
Yeah.
Was really cool.
I loved the little lines they gave her. That was one of my favorites, some of the dialogue. When she was first talking to Cyborg, and I love that she was the one to go and meet Cyborg, to be honest. But she said something regarding that she would have stopped him in the woods if he was going to attack.
I would have attacked you by the lake.
Yeah. The fact that she knew and she just ignored it, like, it... I like those little nuances they put in there about her. But, yeah, when she was fighting Steppenwolf, she didn't relent. She didn't stop. She just kept going and going and going. And I was like, no, that's cool. That's something you don't see. And, like, 25 years ago, the Justice League would have had her, like, pinned or tied up, and they all would have rescued her. But here, she's like a freight engine just going at this dude.
I'm still unclear. Can she fly in the DCEU?
I don't know.
She can just jump really high?
I was going to say, because there's that scene where she, like, jumps really high and throws the thing up, but then there's the scene where she's, like, stabbing the sword through the crawler to stay,
like,
afloat. And I'm like, you can fly, can't you?
At the end of Wonder Woman, she jumps up to fight Ares, and she stays there. She
floats.
For
a long time.
Yeah.
So much harder. I don't know if she can fly or not.
Like, she could have... That could have, like, fixed, like, a lot of things in the movie if she was flying.
I feel like she's supposed to be able to fly, but maybe she just doesn't do it. I don't know.
I'd like to see her and Cal fly together.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Thoughts on Wonder Woman?
You guys are going to hate me for everything I have to say.
Part of Ryan is being replaced with the Rotten Tomatoes critic score.
Some of the stuff you guys mentioned, I thought about her was really great. I really loved the museum scene, seeing her with the bracers, like,
yes,
and the automatic weapons, because a lot of people have been debating for a long time how she would handle automatic weapons, and, you know, that kind of showed it. And it was really cool seeing that super speed. I feel like you could tell a huge difference between the fact that this was male directors and that Wonder Woman was a female director, because there was a lot more shots that were just like, look at this pretty woman, or like upskirt shots. Like, how many of those do we need in one movie? I mean,
every single dude pretty much like saw her and was just like,
Yeah. And no, I think that she's more than that.
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't treated that way in Wonder Woman.
No.
And I think she was treated that way, whether it was on purpose or just like the instinct for the guys was this is where she should be. I don't know. I'm not trying to accuse anybody of sexism or anything like that. But I think that there was more like, just look at the pretty girl shots.
Mm-hmm.
Than there needed to be, and there was way less of that in Wonder Woman.
That's
so
fair.
That part was a little jarring for me.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, I
noticed
totally
that. Right.
Yeah.
In Wonder Woman, you know, Steve Trevor, like, he notices everyone's beautiful, the mascara, and that kind of thing. And then, Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just part of his character, so. But nobody else, like, Chief didn't do that. And
yeah.
I completely agree. I will say that the Amazonian comparison is a total... red herring. People are getting mad for no reason.
I didn't notice.
Just another negative drama thing to draw
if
that's what you
were. Keep people away from the
movie. Yeah, I get it. In the scene with the Amazons.
With
the
armors.
Yeah, there was...
And I only noticed, like, maybe 4 or 5 of them wearing that armor. Because I looked for that last night when I was watching it.
Yeah.
My girlfriend mentioned that they changed the costumes and it's more revealing. And I'm like, you have the two, like, barbarian women that are holding up that gate at the end. And I saw maybe like 2 others, and they have bows.
And they're the same amount of women wore crop tops or just halters and had their midriffs exposed in Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah.
So I thought it was very
misleading. There's also the one Amazon that had like almost Wonder Woman looking armor. It was like red. I thought that was really cool. Like, I want to know a little bit about the armor itself. As a prop guy, I want to know like what is the significance.
The clothes for everybody?
No, I want to know the significance. Like, if they're a better warrior, do they get like the red and blue,
they
or
like
do
the
gold, you know, barbarian type characters get like the midriff, like, is there a class by the armor they wear? Yeah, that's what I would like.
That's a good point. I mean, I thought that was kind of interesting because I didn't really feel like the Amazonian part, like, really had any stylistic issues.
Yeah.
I thought they looked pretty much exactly the same.
So
that was a weird complaint.
Before we move on to another character, then, what do you guys think about that one scene, the first scene where Steppenwolf came down to Earth, where it was the gods, the lanterns, the Atlanteans, the...
I have a lot to say.
Was it lanterns
about
or lanterns?
I only
lantern.
Saw one.
There was
I
one.
Thought I saw two.
It
I'm
did
sorry.
Say that, like, men came from the sky to help, too. And
yeah.
So, I mean, if maybe there was more than one, but they really only showed
one. I mean, theoretically, there could have been two, because there's two per sector. If they really thought Steppenwolf was a big deal, they could have sent more. But
if they thought
one.
He was a big deal, then why didn't they send him for round 2?
That's where the fanboy
Casting.
Me died. Well, Zack Snyder's vision of the movie was happening. There were 2 lanterns that show up at the end of the movie, but...
To meet Batman, which I'm glad that scene was cut, because that makes no sense.
I would have just liked to have seen the costume design.
Look,
but that's about the only thing I would have liked.
Seeing Kilowog on screen would have been really cool. But to the lantern showing up to talk to Batman, I'm not... No.
Yeah,
that's
not buying it.
Because I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I understand the logic behind Batman could wield a ring.
I don't think
right?
they were
going
to be approaching Batman to like give him a ring. I think they were going to be approaching Batman to just about what just happened and
maybe
let him know that there's.
Sorry,
other
we were out doing something to explain their absence in the movie,
yeah.
And like everybody,
now we're here to talk to you about the Justice League initiative.
Kilowog had a patch.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been lame, I think. So I'm kind of glad like that was cut. There are some scenes I wish they hadn't have cut, but I'm glad that was cut because I just think it would have been that would have been excessive fan service.
Overall, that scene I thought was probably one of my favorite ones in the movie.
It was very fun to watch.
That. And I kind of thought that was the Wizard Shazam with the lightning, and then I was like, no, it's
Zeus.
Like, dang it, why couldn't have been the Wizard
but
Shazam?
But that's the thing. Zeus breaks open. The mother boxes, like, he separates them with a lightning bolt. You have Flash. Why didn't he just bam? And you didn't have to use
lightning. To be fair, we don't know that Flash can throw lightning yet. He's still pretty young. So.
I also have
He's also not a Flash yet. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we don't really know that he can do that.
It's fine. He can die.
Because remember, when this movie starts, like, he's like,
Archer.
I just run really fast and push people and run away, right?
But he acknowledges the Speed Force.
Well, because he had to come up with a name for what it is, right? I mean, that was a throwaway line, but he still doesn't really know what he's doing yet.
So yeah, because they made him a
sure.
Coward.
Let's talk about the Flash.
So,
I was going to say something once more about that. I have a theory that the 3 gods they showed in that scene are the 3 gods that give Shazam his power.
It
3
was,
out of the 7?
Yeah.
It was Zeus. Because
they might
minimize
it down
yeah.
for, you know, just scene and stuff like that. But, yeah, I thought...
Yeah, if all 6 showed up, that would have been kind of...
Who were the gods? I know it was cool. Zeus, because I was looking at
well, Zeus is one. Artemis, because yeah. she had a bow and arrow.
Yeah, it's
and
one for every letter of Shazam. So yeah. they all start with the letters.
It was a cool scene. Don't get me wrong. I felt like it was a little quick, so I'm sure that was on purpose, right? So they didn't have to put too much detail into everything that was going on.
They had to explain it. They had to give the exposition, yeah. like, why Aquaman and Wonder Woman know about the Mother Box, but the others don't, and that kind of
thing. Bruce should have just called her. And be like, hey, so you've been around for a while. Do you know anything about these boxes?
Also, why did the parademons explode into shapes of mother boxes?
Like, yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, yeah, remember that's how Batman sees the boxes. He's like,
I didn't understand why they did that. I don't remember that being in any of the comic book adaptations.
I mean, I haven't read the comic books, but it wasn't in War or any of those.
When
it
I die, that's how I want
to You want to explode in the shape of three mother boxes?
Into a giant conspiracy. You'll have to go find three tokens. And
we're willing to do that.
So yeah, let's talk Ezra Miller and Flash.
He sucks.
Oh, you poor thing.
They made him a coward, and I hate
They didn't
it
make him
so
a coward.
Much.
They made him a rookie. I mean, look, if you can be a guy who's really never been in a real battle before.
As far as I know, he's only fought Captain Boomerang at this point.
Yeah.
So if you take a guy like that, who looks pretty young and is very inexperienced, and literally throw him into a war with aliens, with the super gods, and you're totally composed in that, I worry about some of your personality traits.
Ares was another one. Yeah. It was Zeus, well, Ares, Athena, sorry, Poseidon, and all the rest. Oh wait, just kidding.
And all the rest.
Yeah, but no, they. I didn't like his costume. I liked it if it was something that he made, but I was still holding on. That's why I haven't built that costume yet. It's because I was holding on to them making him a second costume that I thought was going to be in the film.
And well, what's wrong with the costume?
It's just the armor plating. It just doesn't seem like it makes sense.
It makes more sense than the TV show explanation.
But
well, he's wearing like a fireman suit that somehow can handle speeds of like 1,000 miles per hour for friction. Like that doesn't make any sense.
And it doesn't make sense that his legs are never taped, but it still happens.
But my point.
Did you see how Flash runs in this movie though? He swings his arms out like this. Flash is like one of my favorites. I was looking forward to on destroying him in this because I didn't like his costume, but yeah, the way he runs was stupid. It was ridiculous that he was like the competitive ice dancing came out.
I like the costume. I thought the explanation for it made more sense than any other
version
of Flash.
Whatever.
It's made out of the same material the shuttle's made out of.
I thought that was good, but I then thought, oh, look, Bruce is analyzing this suit. He's going to make him a
Yeah, but he's not Tony Stark, so everybody doesn't get a brand new suit.
He bought the bank to get the farm back, which was stupid. Just buy the farm.
I think it was more of a joke to say that he can buy the whole
thing. I think it was also
just
playing
like
back
when,
to the bay.
When in the Nolan verse, he was like, I bought this hotel or whatever.
Yeah,
I bought the restaurant.
This whole thing.
Yeah, the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, I mean, Avengers has the thing where Tony makes everybody a brand new suit in every movie, and that's fine, and they look really good, so we're cool with it. DC doesn't have to do the exact same thing, and I'm glad that they're not. I like the idea that they have a suit, and Wonder Woman's suit is the same suit.
Wonder Woman hasn't changed in three
Well,
films.
And that, there's a reason for that. I mean, that's her Amazonian armor. That was like the possessed armor of a god or whatever that they had in the first movie, that explanation. Mm-hmm. It was held in the Hall of Gods or whatever.
But if we came in halfway through the movie, Bruce is like, hey, Barry, look what I got for you. There's a brand new Flash suit. That would have been lame.
I mean, at the end of the movie, not halfway through, because that makes no sense. You wouldn't have time to
or
do
just
it
in the next movie,
this.
Maybe.
Like, but yeah, maybe he'll get it, but like, in this movie, it would have just taken up extra time for nothing.
I guess. Another thing, away from the costume, the way that Ezra Miller portrayed Barry, I hated. I was watching the San Diego Comic-Con panel with them, and as soon as Ezra started talking, I was like, oh, please don't be bringing yourself into the character, and that's what I feel like he did. I felt like he was a child that needs to be put on Ritalin. And I mean, yeah, everything's going by him super slow, so he's always talking fast, because that's how his powers work. But I mean, I guess it goes back to the rookie aspect, but I was assuming a more mature Barry Allen, and he didn't get his powers from working in the crime lab because he didn't work. He hasn't worked in the crime lab yet.
No, I mean obviously they retconned his story and had a throwaway line. But I mean they changed Cyborg's origin a bit too, and I mean that doesn't really bother me a whole lot because their origins have changed over time in different variations. What about you guys?
I didn't like the costume when I saw it on a mannequin at San Diego Comic Con, but it didn't bother me nearly as much in the movie. As far as the character itself, I thought. Maybe for different reasons than you, but I just found him kind of annoying and like he was trying too hard. Mm-hmm. There were certain scenes that it was that I liked involving him, but mostly it was just like him making shocked faces all the time, and that was like 90% of his character. I know that a lot of people like Flash, and I could see that for some people why some people would like him. For me, I just felt like it was Ezra Miller trying really hard to make somebody funny. And
I feel like he was trying to compete with Brand.
I didn't get that at all, but I.
Gustin?
He was trying to do something totally different, maybe. That would be what I would say if it was anything, but.
I mean, if you told me that, like, one was Barry Allen and one was some, like, Wally West or something, like, that would make just as much sense because I don't see them being the same.
Yeah, they're not even.
Yeah, I would see Ezra more as Wally than I would see him as Barry.
Right?
I will say I liked him more as Barry than I did as Flash. I don't like the costume. Not because of the suit. I don't like how pointy the head is. It goes
back. Yeah, it
to
is kind of weird. The cone in the back or whatever.
It's the aerodynamics.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't like
which,
that
I get.
I like how Maddie's cool with
it. No, that helmet design I understand. I didn't say that I liked it.
But I liked his interactions with his dad. That was
See, I didn't.
Good.
Gosh, like I wish I could have got. Like I got nothing emotional from that for me at all. It was so rushed.
Oh, I did for Billy Crudup.
Like he's a great actor, but I just didn't like. I wanted to care more about that for the Flash movie. I feel like that all the characters had a small moment that was supposed to lead into a solo movie, but that didn't. I was not emotionally invested in that at all.
They really
John Wesley Shipp kind of killed it in the TV show.
I do feel like Billy was trying to channel John Wesley Shipp and. I'm totally biased because I absolutely love John Wesley Shipp and his Flash TV show, as corny as it may have been, I really, truly loved. But I thought Billy did a really good job. But I think that the real problem with those scenes, the same with kind of the origin for Cyborg and with Aquaman, is a lot of that stuff, and in Aquaman's case, most of it were cut from the film. And so you got kind of these bits and pieces that were left from it, and I think...
And it didn't work.
And it did not have the emotional impact that we were hoping for. I think Cyborg's did better, but we also had more of it. So,
I love Cyborg. Let's channel into him.
Ray Fisher.
As soon as Ray Fisher opened his mouth to speak, I was like, yes, you are Cyborg. This works for me. And I didn't like the way his suit was CGI'd when we first saw stills, but throughout the whole thing, it just kind of grew on me. And by the end, when he created his chest plate that we're all really familiar with, I loved it. I love that moment.
That's a very bittersweet moment for me. It's a bittersweet moment because that looked amazing, and I'm incredibly concerned we're never going to see it again.
Yeah, I hated the Transformer.
I thought it was fine. I liked that.
It got better as it went on, I thought.
It looked more. The idea was it looked more alien until he found his humanity in it, right? And then he can take control of it. It's symbolic, right? So I loved him. I thought he was great, and I really want his movie. I want to see what they do with it. I found him not an insult on Ezra Miller, because I thought he was fine, but I really liked Ray Fisher, and I really liked Cyborg.
Everybody kept saying that Ezra or Jason were going to be the standouts, and for me, it was Ray. And I had a really good time watching him on screen, hearing him talk about what it was like being Cyborg now.
I like his character because he's really the one who has the most to struggle with in this movie. Because everybody else is already
dead parents. That struggle.
He's had him for a while.
Parents have his friends.
He's been Batman for 20 years. Like at this point, he's had his time to get over that.
But Ray's had like his entire life ripped from him. Totally. And he feels like Frankenstein's monster at this point.
He feels like he can't control himself, which I thought was cool that they brought that in a few times, like the suit's defense mechanisms and stuff. I like that.
Okay.
It's been used in sci-fi before.
It was cool when it was Blue Beetle doing it in Young Justice, but I didn't have as much.
You're not going to see Blue Beetle in a DCEU movie anytime soon.
Never say never.
I'm waiting for that
Blue Beetle Booster Gold team up.
Look,
you know,
I like Blue Beetle a lot. Right, Young Justice is great. And I love all the animated stuff. So, like, trust me, if they want to do a Booster Gold and a Blue Beetle movie.
I think my problem with that was more because of the other side, but I'll get into that when we start talking about Supes. Cyborg for me, the other side of that fight.
Oh, sorry.
Cyborg for me, like at first when he was like walking around in the hoodie, and he's like all emo. I was like, nah, I'm not gonna like this guy, but he got a lot better, and I did actually like him. He was for me a character that stood out. I definitely agree with that.
I think
he could have used more development, but I
yeah, well, yes,
but especially because yes. They haven't really ever been talking about doing a Cyborg movie. They talked about it once.
2020, it's on the docket.
It's supposed to.
So
it was originally, but then they kind of like never said anything about it.
They have a logo for it. It's supposed to come out the same year as the Green Lantern Corps movie, which is
I'm sure those will
both happen. That's where they put the movies that they're like, well, we don't really ever have to do these, right? Because mm-hmm. For some reason, we're getting a Shazam movie first. Like, soon.
How dare you?
So, look, I don't have a problem with Shazam, but he is, like, very similar to Superman. So, Cyborg
wears
is not.
A hood, okay?
Cyborg is not.
He's also a baby trapped in a human man's body, so.
I'm not trying to insult Shazam, and I love Zachary Levi, and that casting makes me super excited for it. But if I had to, like, rank the movies I want to see, Cyborg would be above Shazam.
It is now, because I've seen Ray Fisher as Cyborg, you know? So now I want to see more of him, and I don't see them doing... You know, Justice League 2 and Cyborg, I guess before a Titans movie or something?
Well, Titans is getting a TV show.
I know, but Cyborg's not in
that.
But
is it DC?
No. Right, I don't think they're going to do a Titans movie before he gets his own.
No, I just think Cyborg is the chance to bring in characters like Starfire and Raven, and obviously if Dick Grayson is going to have a film before that or be brought in before that.
Oh, they're casting it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he might show up in Whedon's Batgirl, though.
That's true.
That makes sense to me.
One thing I really liked about Ray Fisher, just one more point, is that was the riskiest casting choice, because he was...
Only a stage actor.
Exactly. He had never been in a single movie. He had only been in stage performances.
And commercials.
I think that was a really great pick.
It
so,
ended up
I appreciate that.
Working out.
Yeah.
Just like Gal did. Gal was a huge... leap of faith, you know?
Well, at least she'd been in a couple movies at least,
her
though. So.
Like, background in Fast and Furious.
No, that's true. You're totally right. So, I just wanted to point that out.
On to Momoa.
I almost jumped back in to argue some more Captain Marvel with you, but that's not enough time for
The original Captain Marvel? Anyway.
Yes. Jason Momoa played Aquaman.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was fine. I mean, I think they had he had the tallest order of... you know, bad history.
Yeah, Aquaman has such a terrible reputation thanks to Super Friends. People still use the Aquaman talk to fish thing.
They use the joke in the movie.
I know. I feel like Ben Affleck used it, though, to get a rise out of him to see if he was going to join that way. But that's kind of our tactic. Like, hey, I'm going to make fun of you until you hang out with me. Like, that's our way of hanging out with each other, and you shouldn't do that when you want to fight a war.
He was trying to provoke him. I thought he was fine. I thought that his powers were pretty well handled with. I liked, you know, him, you know, pushing the sea back when they were trying to escape, but he couldn't quite handle it. I like the idea that he doesn't have complete supreme control.
He's still part human,
right.
And it also shows that like he's just now taking over the King of the Sea role. So I have a feeling his Aquaman film is going to be. Prior to these events, instead of after?
Well, no. Some of it definitely takes place after. Because, so for everybody who got mad that his trident was not a trident, that's not his trident.
I was going to say, because he wasn't able to use it to help control the
gets
water
his, he gets his trident in his movie. He hasn't earned it yet, or hasn't gotten it. I think his mother probably has it still, because she's the queen, and he gets it from her later. So, that's my little piece of detail about... People were really mad about that when they showed the first photos of him, and, like, whatever. But.
They had...
I like the New 52 trident, but it's still a pitchfork.
Right, and I mean, that's fine. I mean, if that's something you want to be mad about, you're entitled to, but it just seems kind of weird, so... Anyway.
I think I had problems with Aquaman in this, too. Big surprise, right? I mean,
No, I did, too.
I think that what I was scared about when they first released that first trailer of him, like, they had to go such a far direction with him to make him cool. I think that they went too far.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he doesn't need to be, like, chugging a whiskey and throwing it on the ground and, like, yeah! Like, all the time.
That's
basically, like, 90% of what it does in the movie, right? Like, that was my, like, Aquaman is a really cool character if you don't know
By
Super
itself,
Friends.
Yeah,
you don't need to, like, go this so far to make him cool. Like, Jason Momoa has the look. You don't need to... I think he has a good look for Aquaman. Maybe it's not completely comic book accurate, but I think he has the look to pull it off.
Well, the comic book accurate was going to be a problem, right? Because in the comic books, his suit designs are still kind of reminiscent of the Super Friends.
The suit doesn't bother me.
And his facial hair, he looks like Thor. Either the old Thor with the very long hair and the goatee, or the very new Thor with the short hair. He would look like Thor. He would end up looking like a Hemsworth.
And I like that they kind of based him stylistically a little bit more off of the Justice League cartoon version, but mm-hmm. then, like, you know...
They let him keep his natural hair color, and that was a huge...
The way he looked was fine. I didn't have any problem with the way he looked. I'm talking mostly about his actual character in the movie.
And I think part of that, again, it's similar to Flash, where he isn't actually Aquaman yet, right? He's just this guy who's been given this responsibility that he doesn't really want, and he's got daddy issues and all that type of thing.
He has mommy issues more than
anything. Well, his dad abandoned him, right, was part of it, too. So, wasn't it? Or did I get it backwards?
His mom abandoned
him. His mom abandoned
him?
Yeah.
He said that she left him.
Sorry. Her dad. Other way around. Mommy issues. Yeah. You know, whatever. The point is that, like, Marvel. Most of these characters are not, you know, Flash, Cyborg, and Aquaman, they're not who they are going to be.
Maybe that's so, but I still have a problem with the character in the movie the way
he's playing. That's fine.
I thought he was a little exaggerated. If he toned just every single behavior a bit down, would have been fine. Like, he was like this bouncer surfer dude, and I'm okay with Aquaman finally having a sense of humor, because he does not take anything out. So I'm okay with him making the "my man" comment here and there.
Maybe the problem was that every character had a sense of humor, and you kind of need a straight man, and they didn't really have a straight man. I guess Wonder Woman was the closest thing.
Cyborg was.
Cyborg started joking by the end.
By the end of it.
Booyah.
By the big fight.
Yeah, booyah. Oh, my God.
Shut up. That was cool.
No, it wasn't. Because it didn't... Like, I get it for a fan of the character, it's cool, but that didn't make any sense in the context of the movie. It was just a stupid throwaway line for fan service.
They just won. Why wouldn't he say something?
Well, if they had, like, he said this when he was a high school or a college football player or whatever, then... Then I would have gotten with it, because
you
that's
want that
at least
in the news headline.
No, but if they had a scene originally that had him playing football.
That's true.
And it was in the trailers. And if they had that scene, and when he scored a touchdown, he said "booyah," or there was some reference to where this was a line for him.
Yeah,
sure.
Like,
but that in the context of the movie, it was just a thing he said randomly that was so outrageous.
But I think that's. I think again, like. You're taking it in context of the trailer, right? If the trailer didn't exist, though, and you just have the movie...
I still thought it was ridiculous.
I know you thought it was ridiculous, but again, it's him finding his humanity at the end of the movie, right? And saying the phrase that he is known for saying in the cartoons and everything. Like, it's part of who the character is.
It worked for me.
I get that.
You keep trying to explain these things that, yes, they work for you as a fan.
For me,
they didn't work.
That's fine. They don't have to work for you. But if something didn't work for you, I am allowed to explain why it worked for me.
Sure, but you're explaining it like I'm wrong about.
You're
what
not
I'm
wrong.
Saying. Okay.
You don't have to like it.
All right. So we all agree that Booyah was a mixed bag for the people at this table.
Yes, it was a mixed bag.
So what was your least favorite part of the credits? Because I think the credits were really controversial.
Let's move on. We haven't talked about Soups. We need to talk
about
Soups.
Yes, we need to talk about
Soups.
All right. So poor Soups. And, Paramount Pictures, like, you're going to shut down production for Mission Impossible because Tom Cruise has a weak ankle, but...
Well, he does do all of his own stunts.
He can't shave his face during that time.
Like, unless he was, like, growing out for a charity or something, then I would understand. I would be like, okay, yeah. But the fact that you just don't want to shave your ugly mustache because it looks horrible.
See, I gotta be completely honest. If we hadn't been told about it, I think I would have just thought, huh, why does his face look weird? And that would have been the end of the conversation.
I didn't notice the first time seeing it, but last night I was like, wow, this is kind of horrible.
I felt like they had a really bad editor and they just took his mouth and moved it up. Like,
you guys, I just thought it was
3D or 2D?
No, 2D.
Okay. I heard it was worse in 2D than it was in 3D. Or whatever like the better version was, it was better in that supposedly it looked better. And
well,
it was
I
really
would,
obvious in 2D.
It's so possible they edited it in 3D and did not touch it. Like, just, I guess.
I don't know. I guess it depends, because like I would prefer to see it in Dolby because that's my favorite way to watch movies right now. So I'm curious to see how it would look in that. I didn't get to see it that way. I thought it looked shiny. I didn't think his mouth was in the wrong spot.
His chin just looked extra large.
Did it? So I just thought it looked flat.
It looked flat. Like there was no lips there. It was flat when he was on the farm. He's on the farm talking
about... Well, it's only in the reshoots, so...
Which was 90% of the soup stuff, at least.
Well...
And the opening, in the opening scene, I thought it, like, the first time seeing it, I thought it was all CGI.
Yeah. I actually loved that scene.
The opening scene where he does the podcast, when that happened, I also thought it
was... That was one of the scenes, so that was definitely something that was recorded much later, because he added that scene. But it's hard to kind of tell, because I think throughout, most of the movie, I didn't notice it. I only noticed it in a few places, so...
I noticed it when he got resurrected, which was stupid on its own.
His whole resurrection was stupid?
Yeah. Because the way to leave it off at the end of Batman vs. Superman, you see the dirt above his...
Yeah, that was weird. But again, that's this is its own movie, and that's what the fanboys wanted, right? Or something like that.
Well,
that's what Derek's
going to
say.
No, it wasn't what I was going to say. I was going to say that Snyder probably was going to have just Soup show up, and then somebody told him that sounds stupid.
Soup or something like that, probably.
And they were like, well, why does he just show up? Right?
Yeah, they have to dig him up. But in the previous movie, his things were levitating about. It's like, okay, guys, come on, let's figure
this out.
Plus,
he has a giant gaping hole in his chest from where the Doomsday spike went through it, and that magically is fixed.
It's not fixed. He has a different suit.
It heals in the amniotic fluid.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That entire thing is a womb? Like, how weird is
that?
It's
a Kryptonian regeneration matrix. I mean,
I'm talking about that was a problem from BVS, and they're like, well, it's already there, so we might as well use it. Like,
yes, that was bad.
And Aquaman was like, I'll get into this amniotic fluid or whatever that stuff is called.
I think it was weird that it was him.
He's the water guy, so...
See, my thought was Batman, Bruce didn't want to do it just in case he, woke up right there.
So, okay, believe it or not, my biggest problem with Supes was not the CGI mustache, although I think that was a big problem. If his character and everything about him had been good other than that, I would have been fine with it. And I did like that opening scene with him and the podcasters or whatever. My biggest problem with him was that basically there's no reason for the Justice League once he's around, because he literally does everything better. Other than Cyborg, he literally does everything better than every other member of the Justice League. He's stronger than Wonder Woman, he's faster than Flash. Except in the comic books, they address that Flash is faster multiple times.
So we don't know that he's faster than Flash.
I mean, they do show that, he can keep up with Flash, at the very least.
Fly. Yeah, I mean...
No. In the scene when, the eye tracking happens and he's fighting, he's, a tiny amount slower than Flash. It's almost,
I mean, again, you have, peak Superman, but you don't have peak Flash.
This was the first time they used the ice breath in the DCEU.
I know, that was cool. I like that.
I thought it was fun.
I like Ice Breath. They don't use Ice Breath.
I just hate how they nerfed every other member of the Justice League. Because Wonder Woman, her headbutting him should have,
But it was her trying not to hurt him, right?
It's just like Cyborg was trying not to hurt him with his arm blast, right? Except that his suit was not under control of him anymore,
I took the Wonder Woman trying to fight Superman to be very similar to Civil War, where, they don't really want to hurt each other, right? She wants... she wants to help him and be friends with him.
Cyborg's arm cannon that weak on him? And the
I don't know. I don't recall Cyborg shooting Superman.
If we're going on comic book canon, Aquaman, Superman, and Wonder Woman all have very comparable strength.
And Wonder Woman's sword and Aquaman's trident can both pierce his skin, although he doesn't have the trident in this movie.
Yeah.
Right. So that's debatable. Because
it's not a magic trident. It's just a weapon.
Wonder Woman is supposed to be so sharp that it can, because it's sharpened by the gods or something, that it can pierce Kryptonian atoms at the level.
This sword is not. We have no proof that this is.
In the movie context, we don't.
I guess that's true, yeah.
The God Killer was destroyed, so.
That's true.
And that one wasn't even magic.
The entire league would fight Steppenwolf. And get their butts kicked by him, but then Superman comes in and he can tank blows from him and knock him out with one punch. It's like, okay.
But that is fairly accurate though.
Wonder Woman is supposed to be on the same strength level as Superman, basically.
It depends not literally punching strength.
She had way more endurance. I think she could have easily taken that mother box hit just as well, if not better than he could.
She's a better fighter. In a straight up fight, she's a better fighter.
Except she's not, because she got her butt kicked by him.
But she didn't. It's just like I'm saying, it's the exact same thing as Civil War. They don't really want to hurt each other, right?
Except he did
really
want
to hurt her. She doesn't really want to hurt him. She's not hitting him as hard as she can. She's not fighting as hard as she can, because she's trying to get him to calm down. That's why she apologizes to him before she tries to hurt him. She doesn't want to hurt him.
I will say that I'm finally happy to see a happy.
By the end, I liked Superman. My problem was not that part. No, it was just the fact that he was better at everything than everybody.
His personality, like, they made him the happy Boy Scout that we've been wanting. Everybody's been saying since Man of Steel, like, oh,
everybody
he's so dark.
Snyder's take on.
But that was the plan from the beginning.
And
Snyder's
it
insane.
Finally paid
and,
off, but people didn't believe him. It's taken him since, oh my God, when did...
2012?
No, I want to say it was 2014 when Man
of
Steel came out. Like
that's
a huge arc.
I thought it was 2013.
Yeah. No, I think it's 2013.
Okay, well, I mean,
it doesn't matter. It's
not,
in that era.
It's not a big
so
deal.
So
it's not, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But anyway, I like that. But it's basically a Superman trilogy. Those three movies, Man of Steel, BVS, and Justice League, are a Superman trilogy.
If I look at the three films like that, I'm much happier because I see the character growth throughout and. He's the one that gets the most character development throughout BBS and even Justice League. He has the least amount of screen time. He gets the most character development. So if I look at it as a Superman trilogy, I am really happy, to be honest. If I look at it as the Superman movie, the Batman and Superman movie, and the Justice League movie, there are issues I have. There are a lot, and I want...
Well, no one's claiming any of them are perfect films.
No,
you know, but I like the arc that Superman takes. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think that there are plans for a lot of these characters to grow. Now, will we ever get to see any of that? I mean, obviously not. These movies don't make any money.
I mean, we're obviously going to see Aquaman. Happening.
Aquaman, Wonder Woman 2, and probably Suicide Squad 2 will happen.
The ones that are still up in the air.
Why didn't
be
they
like
just
Gotham
call?
City
Bruce
Sirens
has Amanda's phone number. Why didn't he just call her and be like, "Hey, I need some help. Ring up those people."
They could have probably handled it all by themselves. Really?
Yeah.
They have even less power.
Exactly. But
doesn't
I mean,
matter. Superman's there. He can do
they're Suicide Squad. He doesn't care. He shouldn't care.
So I put it something out. I think I might be the first person to notice this, and I just want to go on record. Zack Snyder is slowly recasting the Watchmen into this universe. So Jeffrey Dean Morgan played Thomas Wayne, and Billy Crudup played Henry Allen, and Patrick Wilson is playing Ocean Master. So just waiting on... Malin Ackerman.
It's not completely unheard of for Jack an actor to work with the same actors
but
over
all
and over
of them.
Oh, she's talking. Tim Burton always uses.
Like, I'm excited. I love Watchmen, and I will fight people when they say it's a bad movie because it's not.
We didn't talk about the villain at all. Because there's not much to talk about, because he's one of the worst villains ever in history.
He's very one-dimensional.
He slightly beats out Galactus in Rise of the Silver Surfer.
He was better than Ares. Just to look
Steppenwolf?
At.
Oh, yeah, he looked cool, and the voice was done well, but there was no motivation for the character
David
at all.
David Thewlis should not play a Greek god. He shouldn't. So, he should play a werewolf in a Harry Potter movie.
So, I'm a little confused, because I've heard a lot of people talk about how he's this terrible villain, but what more motivation did he need? This is just what he does.
Bruce Wayne 25, thanks for joining the chat. Yeah, he was totally useless, and we talked about that heavily in the beginning.
And
sorry
I disagreed, but you can go back and listen to it. We're not going back over Batman. For Steppenwolf, I mean, they explain his motivation multiple times throughout the movie. What more does the
it's just a very one-dimensional character. Like, okay, my whole purpose is to come to Earth, find three boxes, put them together, and then boom, we have a terraformed Earth. We also had a Man
oh
of Steel
gosh,
and Darkseid.
I guess it's just
yeah,
it's just a, I mean, I guess I don't understand what other villains in team up movies have done better.
I don't know. Ego was better. Comparing the two, they have very similar power ranges, and
But Ego was the surprise antagonist.
He totally
right?
was.
So he wasn't like the main.
He's better than Lex Luthor from BVS, which I want to talk about.
But maybe not Lex Luthor in Justice League. Lex Luthor in Justice League was so good, guys. Like, he was much better in this.
The mark of a good villain is that you kind of see what they're doing and why they're doing it. I think for a lot of movies, you know, with Civil War, you had the dude that, like, had his
Zemo.
Family. Yeah, Zemo. He got his family died or whatever, and so he wants to get back at the Avengers.
But most
this guy had literally nothing, like, except that he needs a planet to impress his uncle or whatever.
Well,
no,
he
I
was
mean,
exiled, and it's
so
nephew.
You can't just have a bad guy who's a bad guy to be a bad guy.
It's just not interesting.
But that's what it is in the comic books.
Okay.
That's
not interesting in the comic books.
But that's what Darkseid is.
I'm saying,
that to me is the whole reason why they should have done Darkseid and not Steppenwolf. You have to explain who Steppenwolf is.
Because not many people know who he was. I had to research him and found out that he's
If you had put Darkseid in there for a minute, he looks like Darkseid and he says that he's Darkseid.
Well,
does it change anything?
The fact they would have known what to do with him because Darkseid's more popular, people are more familiar with him. They would have shown stuff like Apocalypse itself, and I think that would have given him just more background. Like, show where Steppenwolf comes from, you automatically give him more background.
But they didn't have time to do the movie they were making. You're talking about a much longer movie.
Yeah, that I would have sat through, because this was short.
But that wasn't up to the filmmakers. That was up to Warner Brothers.
No,
so
movie was butchered by the studios.
So
that's
obvious. I'm just saying, when you're given a two-hour runtime, you're not showing a brand new alien world.
I have come up with multiple solutions to make Steppenwolf better, and you keep confining me. I'm not part of the WB.
We're just movie viewers.
Explanation was to replace him with Darkseid.
Yeah, we talked about you and I personally before we went to bed the other day about how Darkseid would have been 10 times better, and now
I don't agree.
You're betraying me.
I'm not betraying you. I didn't agree then. I don't think there would have been a difference. I think all you do then is you just pick your most popular villain and waste the name in this movie. Now you know, theoretically, if the movie had been successful, you would be able to retain
him. You just said the other day, if you do a Justice League trilogy, you would do Darkseid first, Injustice League second, and Brainiac third. That's what you
said.
That
was the order I put
them in.
Because you gave me those three villains.
I did not.
And I put them in that order.
Oh my god, we're breaking up.
Well, what I'm saying here on the podcast is that I thought that given what the movie was about, the movie, the actual story, I thought Steppenwolf was fine. He was designed to do one thing and one thing only, destroy the planet. And that was what he was there to do.
And he said he was exiled too.
I mean, because he failed the first time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, you know, that whole reasoning gave you the scene that you guys all claimed was your favorite scene in the movie, which...
That doesn't... Because we like that scene doesn't make that character a good
character. No, I'm not saying it makes the character a good character, but I'm just saying that that was part of his backstory, that's part of his motivation.
It's also part of the Amazonian and Atlantean backstory, I think, more than anything else. But, and why they have why they know about the mother boxes.
Do you want to read what we got in chat?
Sure. Jenny Deer 218, who I don't recognize, but thank you for joining in this chat with us. I think the thing that makes a good villain is an ugly side of human nature that we can relate to, but taken to the extreme places, essentially crossing the line of acceptable behavior, Steppenwolf is just not relatable. Which is kind of what I said, so I totally agree with that.
But then, basically, any of the Justice League level villains, most of them wouldn't be considered relatable villains.
I think another problem that goes with Steppenwolf, because we're just going in circles right now, but how many DCE movies have there been?
Five?
Is this the fifth?
Yeah.
So if you bring Darkseid back in the sixth movie... Right, if there was going to be another Justice League. That makes half of the movies in the DCEU about somebody trying to terraform the Earth. They need something else.
No, and that's fine, which is why
it's like the Flash TV show.
Yeah, which is always fighting.
And that's fine. I'm not saying the whole Earth terraforming thing is a great tool, right? But I'm just saying that the difference between Darkseid and Steppenwolf, there really isn't much of one from a motivational standpoint. So swapping Steppenwolf out for Darkseid, I don't think would have changed much.
I don't disagree with that. I don't know enough about Darkseid. I mean, I've watched the animated movies and stuff like that. I don't know that it would have changed much. I'm sure there's a whole library of Justice League villains that I'm not familiar with.
The big Justice League villains would also include Brainiac, who also I don't think would be a quote relatable character because he's super not human, you know? So maybe that's the big problem.
Quest is better. He's constantly seeking knowledge. He doesn't go to destroy the Earth. He goes to suction everything that we have. Like, he wants to siphon our information. And
I would much rather see Brainiac in this film.
That would have been cool.
I mean, that's fine. I'm not saying that Steppenwolf is the greatest DC villain of all time or anything like that. I'm just saying that the big villains are not particularly relatable.
Yeah.
I mean, is Thanos relatable?
No, Thanos has spent 19 films on a toilet.
Right, but you also have seen him through a bunch of movies, so that makes it more, like, you're more amped up to see him. Now, maybe he's going to suck. I don't know.
No,
I haven't seen the movie.
And we will definitely call that out.
Yeah,
but
my point is just that Thanos and Darkseid are very similar.
They are.
As far as, like, their level
they
is concerned.
They are very comparable.
So, like, I'm as excited to see Thanos as I would be to see Darkseid. I just don't think Darkseid would be that much different than Steppenwolf.
Probably not.
So, that's all.
But I don't necessarily think that he would have been the best villain. I think that fans of the Justice League would have wanted to see him, because that's, like, their main, you know, in Justice League War, that's who it is, right?
Look, Brainiac is by far the more interesting villain, but it would be hard to do that with Superman dead. Because he's mainly a Superman villain who goes out of control, and then he needs the League's help, is usually how that story goes.
Mm.
So you can't start with that if Superman's already dead. So,
we kind of talked about the end credit scene already, where Flash and Superman are racing, and mm-hmm. how adorable that is.
There's no crying in the Justice League. Yeah, is that what we're going to talk about now?
Yes.
We need a League of our own.
Oh,
there's
my
no
God.
Crying in the Justice League. Is that that's
oh,
what I was waiting
God.
For?
So, poor Joe Manganiello was cast like 10 years ago, and he finally gets to suit up.
Well, he had the age.
I know.
But he has bleached blonde hair.
I thought it looked really good.
It looks platinum white to me, but there was...
It did. It looked white. It looked white.
So.
He's supposed to be old. Old man Slade.
He's
going to get some drinks with Hugh Jackman.
I like it. I thought it looked good.
I actually liked that scene. But I hated that line. I hated the, like, we need a League of our own.
Here's how that should
I expected Tom
been.
Hanks to come out and start yelling. I was like, no, guys,
no,
come on.
That was
the best Chris Mario could come up with. Come
no,
on.
That was definitely a heavy-handed line. I mean, because they don't create, like, I mean, there's the Injustice League, but there's also the Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom.
Is
Legion of Doom
name.
Would be better than the Injustice League.
There's another one, too, that actually starts with Deathstroke and Lex Luthor, but I can't remember the name of it.
I mean, the Legion of Doom was Lex's at certain times.
It was like... Something villains. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, yeah. I have that
super villain.
No, I can't remember what it was, because I'm not apparently as big of a DC fan as some of the other people at this table. But Deathstroke and Lex Luthor are the founding members of whatever this is.
I'm totally fine with that. I'm very curious who's going to cross over. The easiest thing to do was to get, just by casting, is to get a Suicide Squad guy on that, too. But I don't want to see it. I'm just saying the easiest thing to do.
Then what's going to end up happening is it's going to be Harley and Deadshot. Then you have Deadshot and Deathstroke and...
People are going to get confused.
I already want them to sit in a coffee shop and just...
But actually get the two of them to really do one, I think would be really great.
I just want them to stare each other down as they, like, sip espresso. Like,
but there's just the color schemes are very similar, the armor is very similar, like, there's just a lot of crossover.
Well,
so.
no, because the armor...
Yes, I love Deathstroke's armor, too.
Oh, yeah, it's the Arkham Origins armor
from
the Batman game. The only difference that I've noticed, because Deathstroke's my all-time favorite villain... And the only difference I noticed was the base suit. It looks like a wetsuit or black, like a black morph suit. There was no detail or anything on that. It was just like a black body suit.
That should make your job easy.
And no, I hated it.
But then, it'll change before he's in his own movie.
And then the helmet was also.
They'll just have a bunch of little pictures of his mask all over.
Went so balls to the wall with the costume anyway for just. 1 minute of screen time was pretty impressive in my opinion. They could have just had him in a suit.
I wouldn't be surprised if the mask was totally different and a bunch of stuff changed by the time the movie comes out
with
him.
Sure.
Well, because they came out with that footage, that leaked footage of the
death leaked by Ben Affleck.
It was test footage.
Yeah, it was shared by Ben Affleck.
It was like the leaked Deadpool footage.
Except that wasn't shared on Instagram by Ryan Reynolds. Like, that was Ben Affleck
shared
was the
on YouTube
one.
By Ryan Reynolds.
Ben Affleck was literally the one on Instagram that posted that.
Ryan Reynolds leaked that footage.
I'm sure he did. But he didn't, like, post it and say, here's test footage from Deadpool, like Ben Affleck did with the Deathstroke armor.
But as soon as I saw that test footage, I loved it.
Was he wearing
excited.
The ascot that you usually sport?
No.
Brad does like his ascots.
Yeah.
It's not an ascot, it's a scarf.
I thought he was wearing a scarf.
How is that manlier?
He wasn't.
The word?
I guess.
Because ascot means that you're Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. I have
But anyway,
he's already got all
yeah, he's got pictures.
I do have photos.
Did you, like, go see it again and just take a photo?
No.
That's what Paco does for him. Paco pulls out.
Because
nobody's going to yell at Paco.
Is it because he's badass?
He'll just buy the theater.
Alright, so that's basically
it.
We are way
He does not
time.
Have a scarf. But that is
sorry,
that's like
I
a bleached blonde. And his eye patch is really cool though.
Yeah,
I'm glad it's not like a traditional eye patch. It's like a
he's like could have gotten one from Spirit Halloween.
But
anyway,
yeah, that's,
any other thoughts about Justice League as we wrap up here?
No.
Deathstroke should have shot Lex Luthor in the face at that scene, by the way, or just pulled out a sword and killed him. Picked up the phone and be like, it's done, and then it's, what's his name, from Breaking Bad on the other end. Good, he was a horrible son anyways, and that's the real Lex Luthor, because I'm still on the fan theory that Eisenberg's a clone.
Well, Eisenberg is Lex Luthor Jr. They did say that in BVS.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah,
his dad is the, quote, Lex Luthor, but I assume he's dead.
I hope he's not.
So
all
he's
right.
not going
mean,
to be Bryan
really
Cranston.
About,
it's not going to be Cranston.
I wanted him to be shot.
So
that's going to wrap up Justice
League.
Let it
grade it. We do every time. I mean,
go for
just
it. We'll just do it. Then
let's
start.
C minus.
Okay.
C.
C.
Okay. So those are the scores, everybody.
K is an
so,
A.
Darius is A plus.
No, it's not.
DC
it's
probably like a B.
Look, you know, we sit here and I come up with reasons why I like something, and I'm supposed to listen to all the reasons
well,
why everybody hated it.
Everybody
you know,
just gave
so,
you a letter grade. You,
no,
didn't, you didn't participate. That's the only thing I was making
we
fun
all
of.
Gave pros and cons. We all said things that we liked and didn't like. How does that mean we're crapping on your dreams?
I was talking to Ryan.
I did the same thing. But
I was talking to Ryan, because you've dismissed a lot of what I've said.
And you've dismissed a lot of what I've said?
No, I've counterpointed. You said something that
right.
I said something.
This is my
fine, I'm going to give it I'm giving it a B+.
Okay, so join us in 2 weeks for the second annual Heroes Podcast Awards. Next week we're talking Punisher with Jenny Deer. I'm very excited
oh,
to have her
cool.
on. The week after is our awards, starting at 8 p.m. We will have our awards ceremony where we pick the best and the worst of 2017 in TV, movies, and video games. We will also, I guess, hand out awards for the viewers. If you have been voting on our daily polls, there's a chance you're going to win something, too. There's been 32 different votes, so odds are in your favor. Do that. Go to Heroes Podcast on Facebook and Instagram to vote now. Your votes count until November 30th, and then no more votes.
That's a lot of prizes. I'm glad I'm not the one that has to give them out.
You just have to sit there and hand them to people.
No, the viewer prizes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a lot of shipping money for me, but it's worth it. You guys are worth it. All right. Thanks for joining us. We are Heroes Podcast. We are Screen Heroes specifically. And yeah, we're done tonight. We'll see if we're still friends next week.